Welcome to Health Matters on Notepad. My name is Ibrahim Sani. This is a segment within Notepad where we take a look into some of the pressing issues pertaining to health. In Malaysia, Malaysia is expected to be an aging country from now until 2030. And by 2030, we are an aged country. And this is, of course, raises a lot of issues when it comes to preconditioned existing matters or health conditions. And of course, more importantly, rising issues of communicable diseases like the flu. So joining us in the studio is Professor Dr. Shahrubaya Kamaruzaman. She is the consultant geriatrician as well as the president of the Malaysian Health Aging Society. How are you, Doctor?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Fantastic. We just want to do a little bit of a recap because you are a geriatrician. Yeah. Maybe you could give us a lay of the land in terms of where Malaysia is heading when it comes to being an aged country.
As you know, the whole world is aging rapidly, and 70% of the world's aging population is occurring in Asia, and Malaysia is one of the front runners of the aging population. We are growing very, very fast, and as you said earlier, that by 2030 we will have achieved aging or aged nation status. Mm. And that's quite a worrying front, especially if we're not ready as a nation to face the aging.
Okay, how do you define aging or aged nation? Like how many percentage of people must cross over a certain number of people?
Well, usually about 15%.
15%?
15
above 60?
Above 60, 65.
Okay.
Usually.
So right now, where are we at?
We're about 7 to 8%. It's rapidly per year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So by 2030, we're looking at 15%.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, and because of that, we have to look at the other end of the spectrum as well in terms of the reproduction rate. Malaysia used to have 5 to 6 babies per woman back in 1970. That number has dropped significantly to 2 or 3 right now. In fact, some postulations made by DOSSUM is that we might go below the reproduction rate of 2.1. Do you feel that this is a good thing, a net positive thing or a net negative thing when it comes to demography management for a country?
Well, it's neither good nor bad. It's just the way it is, and that's been happening across the world, and we are not obviously excluded from that phenomenon. Now that there are more working women out there, and women, as you know, age longer and live longer than men, and it's important that as you grow older, that both men and women's economic capacity is extended beyond their retirement age. And therefore, you know, with both parents working, often not having as many children may be one of the ways in which that is compromised in some ways. And that's why population imbalances occur.
You know, this is the thing, right? Because in my conversations with EPF, they argue that only 4% of current EPF members, folks like you and me, yeah, are, I'm assuming you're EPF and not a pension.
Yeah. Well, I'm a pensioner, but yeah.
Okay, all right. We're looking at only 4% having enough for retirement, and the other 96% do not have enough for retirement. EPF defines retirement as 250,000 upon reaching the age of 55. Mm. And of that 4%, that retirement is only able to sustain up until 75. Yeah. So, and Malaysia's life expectancy has risen year on year. Men is, I think, at 78, if I'm not mistaken, yeah. Women at 80 or 81. So, you know, you're looking at least another 6 to 7 years post-retirement. Of course, this life expectancy is only expected to grow even longer. Do you feel that Malaysia has enough when it comes to, say, I know that retirement isn't enough, but do you feel that the, you know, social healthcare network is enough to help Malaysians out there, particularly in the geriatric space?
That's where preparedness is most important, and this is where I come across in terms of the importance of healthy aging. And healthy aging can occur as young as you are now, even younger.
Okay.
And that preparedness, by way of our pension and EPF, is only enough if you anticipate a healthy old age.
Yeah.
But if you're not healthy, being ill costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
And if you look into the current situation where even children of aging parents who are 80, in the 80s and 90s, the children are having to dig out their EPF money savings in order to pay for the older parents.
Yeah.
So it is ever so important that in the younger generations before beforehand need to actually strategize. And we as a population, as a community, really need to focus on being healthy.
Okay, let's talk about being healthy. It's also about lifestyle. It's also about trying to manage our NCDs, non-communicable diseases. It's trying to maintain a situation where we are open to the idea of, you know, annual checkups. This, not that you can tell me more actually on this, but this is something that Malaysians are not necessarily open to the idea. Where do you think the issue of, say, for instance, awareness needs to start? Is it through community members? Is it through parents versus children, meaning a familial cluster? Where do you think the whole idea or the whole notion of trying to tell people be healthy, live healthier, eat healthier, you know, do you think that that kind of lifestyle changes should start from home or from communities or from broad messages like this?
I think we should start treating any sort of health issue as a public health threat. Mm. It needs to be a wide public health message, and therefore it would transcend not just families, communities, but the whole nation. So healthy eating, healthy living, moving, keeping well, having regular checkups, having your vaccinations updated. Mm. Those are key ingredients to being healthy as a nation. So it's a healthy nation moving together, and therefore as early as at school. Mm. That needs to be part of our classes. Mm. Every activity within any curricula that is delivered at a young age needs to include key messages of being healthy.
You know,
in mind, in physique, in attitude.
So when my mom was doing a PhD and I was in Australia, there is a special education on sex education.
Yeah.
It's a special syllabus, a special subject. I just realized that my 15-year-old is getting taught on sex education in her biology class.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I'm sure that they're trying their best in terms of trying to get teenagers be aware of sex ed, but, you know, they have to retrofit it in biology. And I remember my biology wasn't, you know, anything to do with sex ed. It was just biology, like plain science, right? Do you think that the education ministry needs to figure this out as well? At least now, with the new government in place and all that, a lot has to be done in terms of education.
I think the education system and the purveyors of such, and myself working in the university, we have an obligation to actually be open to all the very many ways in which the younger generation are learning. And if they're not getting it in schools, and we're not actually capturing the importance and imbibing our maybe cultural, our nation's beliefs in school, then they're obviously going to be able to get exposed to various social media areas. And, and children are very resourceful. In fact, a lot of, and I'm told my nieces, that their school activities are all very much based on internet information, etc. So there's a lot of ways in which they can gather the information. But it would be good that, you know, from a sort of the purview of the education ministry, perhaps, to actually be involved in what is now generational, what ways in which they learn, and what is akin to global standards, because we are sometimes mired by a lot of our multi-religious, multicultural beliefs. Whilst those are very, very important, we also need to actually understand what's going on out there, and our children are exposed. So, you know, it's important to ensure that, you know, the healthy attitudes towards aging, or whether towards health, whether towards sex education, etc., is something that
is being managed properly.
Is managed appropriately. Yeah.
Okay, we'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with Dr. Shahrul Bahia Kamaruzaman, the consultant geriatrician, on the issues of aging. Thank you. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me in the studio Professor Dr. Shahrul Bahia Kamaruzaman, the consultant geriatrician and president of the Malaysian Health Aging Society. We are also talking about some of the pertinent issues or acute issues that is surrounding the communities right now. Most pressing one could be the COVID, but of course another issue that is still on the pulmonary aspect of things is the influenza flu A, which is the burden and social concern amongst our elderly. Maybe you could give us a quick overview in terms of the flu prevention situation amongst the elderly in Malaysia.
We actually need to do a lot more about preventing flu amongst our growing older population. The uptake of flu vaccination is actually very low amongst the older population. I think perhaps now with COVID becoming more on the forefront of people's minds, that vaccination is no longer, or vaccination hesitancy is no longer a big issue. And I find that, you know, unlike other countries who've had vaccine hesitancy, older Malaysians have been very, very good at maintaining their vaccinations. And hence, now is the right time to come back to say, hey, what, you know, don't forget about flu, because that was actually causing a lot of severe illness and complications even before COVID came.
Yeah.
The good old influenza virus.
Yeah, of course, people don't remember these things. You know, flu shots are not as taken as seriously as COVID shots.
Yeah.
This whole idea of you know, having to take flu shots every year, say for instance, is facing that kind of hesitancy, especially amongst the elderly. And I have a mom, she is 70, and she is, you know, she's compliant with COVID vaccines. She's not compliant at all with flu vaccine. Okay. So I'm trying to figure out where the severity of the issue is. Are people taking this lightly?
They perhaps are, which is why the uptake is quite low. So therefore, there is a campaign that the Ministry of Health, alongside other associations and supported by Malaysian Healthy Aging Society, the Flu Prevention Act of Love campaign has been the campaign, and currently it's in its fourth phase. And prevention of flu beyond 65 and above, get it done, is the latest campaign that actually targets older people. So in the way that, you know, aging is holistic, and therefore part of your holistic healthy aging is to not just, you know, be eat well, be physically active, get your checkups done, be socially active, being learning new skills, etc. So there are seven key aspects to happy and healthy aging, and the seventh one, most importantly, is also to get your flu vaccination as part of that thrust. So it's an act of love. It means protecting your family, protecting specifically your older persons, because 85% of older people who may have non-communicable disease have severe complications, etc., and they die, especially if they get complications of flu, such as pneumonia. They may have inflammation of the heart. They may develop sepsis. And this can actually increase your hospitalization rates. Prolonged hospitalization can also lead to other complications and death. And those who are more vulnerable are those with NCDs, as well, non-communicable diseases. Specifically, you know, those with heart and lung complications, those who have chronic heart and lung disease, they are vulnerable. Those who have heart disease, ischemic heart disease, who have stents, etc., they are vulnerable. Those who are diabetic, and you know Malaysian populations are very high diabetes rates.
So, the world, and
you know, when you get the flu, you may not realize it as a diabetic, your sugars may swing up and down, and this may put you at risk of being open to more inflammation and hence more complications of infection.
Let's talk about flu seasons. Flu is prevalent throughout the year, but there are some concepts of or time periods where flu season is occurring. Let's understand the phenomenon first, and let's understand whether or not we are in a flu season right now.
Well, actually, we're in the tropics. So if we were in the UK or any parts of Europe, we would be in flu season now, because it's usually during winter time, and then we're approaching that, and therefore the elderly there will get high rates of hospitalization. They come in and actually sometimes even die of flu vaccine, which is why it's a huge thing to get your flu vaccine done over in the northern hemisphere. Now in the tropics, there is no particular pattern. It can occur at any time, although there are certain spikes. But flu has been noted to occur across the year in tropical countries, especially in Asia.
Okay. We'll go for one more short break before we come back with consultant geriatrician that we have in the house. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Professor Dr. Charubaya Kamarzaman, the consultant geriatrician. So, doctor, maybe we should talk a little bit more about how to take the flu vaccine, where, and perhaps a little bit more on the Act of Love campaign.
Okay. Yeah. So, as I mentioned, the Act of Love campaign is the bigger picture of the Immunize for Life campaign that has been conducted by Ministry of Health with Malaysian Pediatric Association as well as Malaysian Infectious Disease and Chemotherapy Association. And it's supported now in its fourth phase by Malaysian Healthy Aging Society. Because of healthy aging being the key thrust here, we are advocating that flu prevention occurs in those beyond 65. And the motto is get it done. And why they need to get it done is because flu becomes more serious as you get older. The complications of it, especially if you've got multiple medical issues, chronic diseases, as you get older, the experience of having the influenza virus is a little bit more severe. And having an annual vaccine that occurs, which you can get from your GPs, which you can get at any public hospital or private hospitals, is a very, very important thing to do as part of your steps to healthy aging. Not just getting your health checkup, making sure that you move mentally, physically, socially, etc. It's part of your key steps to being happy and healthy in old age. So that's part of what the campaign is about. It's approaching this need and vaccination being one of it annually as a holistic part of the healthy aging process that we hope older Malaysians can cultivate.
Final question would be on the cost or the price. Some of the elderly that are watching us or children of them, they're trying to understand what the implications are, cost implications. Yeah.
So it's between 65 to 100 ringgit per year. That's the average flu vaccine.
Can they get it for free at the Klinik Kesihatan or something like that?
So it's not free for the moment, but under certain schemes and health, we really, really need to actually work with how we can actually make this part of the expenditure, especially for those who are within the B40 bracket. So we hope to actually work on this initiative to make nationwide older person vaccination as part of the as part of the vaccination schedule. Not because right now it's free for those who are the younger children vaccination, but for older people it's still a cost. So we will need to work it out with the powers that be to make this something that is also free.
And so if the public wants to find out more about this, is there a call to action? Is there a website? An IG?
There is a website. It's www.activelove.ifl.my. And you can look up for more information there, and we'll be happy to answer
folks
questions.
Now are on social media. There's nothing on social media right now.
Well, you can check up our Malaysian Healthy Aging website, and of course, there's also the Act of Love website, and there's a hashtag #IGetItDone.
Yeah, let's get it done.
Let's get it done.
In fact, you know, I'm due for my flu shot as well, so I want to do that as well.
Yeah.
That was our conversation with Professor Dr. Shahrul Bahia Kamarzaman, the consultant geriatrician. Also the president of the Malaysian Healthy Aging Society, or MHAS. If you want to learn more about this, do check out their website just now, as mentioned by Dr. Bahia. Also, stay on astroawani.com. There's a lot of resources that can be found here to search for health matters as well. My name is Ibrahim Zani. Catch you in the next one.